Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You can hear The Fan Rochester where we sound our best, the free-to-download Odyssey app. We're also streaming live on YouTube and Twitch. Find us at The Fan Rochester. We welcome in noted hockey.
Yeah, noted hockey. Before we get to the Amherst talk, Mike Menansky joining us earlier and putting Saratoga in New England? Hey, Joe, you're a Capital District native. I mean, would you ever consider Saratoga part of New England?
Absolutely not. No part of Eastern New York, upstate New York, any of that is in New England. No part of it.
I love it. See, we got a little controversy brewing. Now, Mutt claims that if you go to Saratoga, because it really is the closest racetrack for any New Englander to go to now, that you will see hundreds and hundreds of Massachusetts license plates in the parking lots at Saratoga.
Oh, that is 100% true. But like you would see those too before Foxwoods and those casinos opened up in Connecticut, with everybody going to Turning Stone and around Syracuse too. Mm. So, New York providing some gambling exploits for our friends in New England to come and enjoy.
I heard that. Like no, stop. Stop.
Right, again, no. Good that Joe could put a finer point on it for us, being from the year.
Imagine like you're setting up a vacation. It's like, hey, we're going to New England. It's like, oh, that's great. Where are you going to go? Albany. No,
they didn't claim Albany. They claimed the good part. Great,
like, they don't want to claim Albany, Joe. Let's get it straight. They want to claim Saratoga. Saratoga's nice. We want New England wants to claim ownership of the nice part of the Albany area.
You want one, you take them all. And if you don't want them all, you don't get any.
I love it.
I love this. Joe Yearn, Bleacher Report, certainly covering a lot of Sabres and Amherst hockey. Joe, your initial reaction. Amherst have a new head coach in Mike Leone. Your thoughts?
I think this is going to be a good hire. It falls in line with a lot of how the organization's done things for the last, 10, 15 years about how they like to draw things up. Well, probably more like in the last 10 years or so, but falls right in line with how they, when they hired Seth Appert out of the program and brought him in. This is a guy coming through similar steps, similar background. Obviously, he was the head coach of the Green Bay Gamblers in the USHL the last couple of years, so that's a strong development background. Bringing young guys along, coaching them up, getting them ready for professional hockey. And reading about him when he was hired to Green Bay and, catching up on that when we saw the rumor pop up a little bit yesterday, from Brad Schlossman out in North Dakota, reading up on him and, everything that he tried to instill in Green Bay, with turning that team and that program around. Well, I checked every box with what they like to see here in Buffalo, talking about compete, effort, being the toughest team to play against, all that. That checks every single box for what they want to do in Rochester. So this makes sense. And he's a young guy. So like it's very humbling for me to talk about guys who are younger than I am becoming head coaches in places. So I should get used to this by now, but I think this really checks out. This checks a lot of boxes obviously we'll see how it works out, but I think this is a good hire.
Talk about the youth again, because I think that there are probably candidates out there that were more seasoned, more experienced, and frankly older than what we have coming in with Leone. But is there something to be said for a younger guy? And when you look around, not just the AHL, but the NHL, is there something to be said for having a younger guy behind the bench to better relate to some of these players, especially these younger players who are coming into the league as hot shots and need to kind of be shown how their roles need to be modified in order for them to be the best professional they can be?
Yeah. And it helps to have somebody that's at least identifiable, to that, generationally, so that they have maybe more of an understanding of where, how these guys think, how they operate, how they do things and whatnot, because We've seen a lot of times throughout pro hockey, not just, you know, AHL, but like all over hockey everywhere, where you have older coaches that, you know, maybe, you know, they do things the old way, the tougher way, whatever. And some, you know, that has a finite window of success if it catches. But if it doesn't catch, it falls apart almost immediately. And then you're digging yourself out of a hole. I think, you know, with a guy that's young, you're bringing him in and he knows the mindset. He knows where these guys come from. And, you know, it sounds so like weird to talk about how, like, you know, coaches back in the day, it was like, well, we met face to face, or, you know, we talked over the phone, blah, blah, blah. And now it's, you know, all these guys, they just text now. And that's the way it goes. You know, it's just what life is. But like, being able to kind of identify with that, it cuts out a lot of the communication issues and, you know, the generational gap stuff, where you just kind of want to make things, as smooth as possible and, you know, cut down on any layers where there might be some miscommunication. So it helps out. And to have a guy that kind of understands where everybody's coming from is a big bonus, because you don't want there to be, you know, barriers, but you don't want barriers in front of you when you're trying to get through to these guys. So it's a good thing, because this is going to be a young team. I mean, this was a young team last year. They're going to be young, you know, even younger, if not as young again this year. I mean, you know, when we talk about like Michael Mersch being like the elder veteran, that's bonkers to me to think about, because he's not old. So, but you're going to have more, you know, younger guys coming into this team next year, and having a younger coach that kind of gets it and understands and has just been in that role where, you know, he's been bringing young guys along. I mean, that's about as good as you can get.
Joe, you're in Bleacher Report joining us as the Amerks put out the official release, making it official. Mike Leone is the new head coach, and Danger and I are reading it, scanning it. Okay, no mention about the assistants here. So, and not that we expected that, but what are your thoughts on that? Because certainly thought they had two decent assistants. So where does this leave Vinny Prospel and Nathan Paige, in your opinion, Joe?
I think they're going to stick around. And I think that's a good thing for him, because I know Vinny was coaching a little bit in Europe beforehand. But coaching, you know, getting your feet under you here in North America and coaching here is a little bit different. And, you know, Nathan Paige is starting the next wave of his career, going from player to coach. So, I'm sure that they were talked to maybe about the lead job, but you kind of want to get an idea of how far along they are with their own coaching and where they're at. I think unless Mike Leone wants to bring in different guys, that's something else entirely. But I think with Nathan and Vinny, I mean, they're very good assistants, and they're guys that love being in Rochester. So I'd imagine that's going to work out the same way. And if there's a change, then, you know, okay, then I'll give us something else to discuss. But I don't see that being an issue as far as, you know, bringing in somebody to put over the top of them. If there's an issue, maybe it's just because, you know, Mike Leone's a little, you know, is a younger guy, but I mean, all these guys are kind of out of the same generation as far as I can tell. So I can't really see that being an issue, but, you know, everybody's a professional, but, you know, I mean, Nathan's been a Rochester guy for as long as I can remember here, but I get it, but I can see this just being the right thing to keep some continuity.
Well, and I also think if you look at this and examine it, I mean, it's pretty clear that Seth Appert had something to do with this decision, and probably had a lot of insight and input as to what direction Jason Karmadas and Kevin Adams would eventually go. And a big part of that, I would imagine, would be, hey, can he work with the two guys that were behind the bench with me last year, because they're ascending as well. And you do want that continuity. You think Seth Appert was involved in this search and offered his input as well, correct?
If he wasn't involved directly in the search, he was certainly contributing thoughts on along the way in the process. Because Mike Leone, I mean, Leone's background, he's coming out of the USHL, but like, he was a USA program guy. And, you know, the connections run deep there with anybody who's ever coached there. I mean, you see some of the names of the guys that Mike Leone worked with at the program, and some of them are the same guys that Seth worked with when he was there. You know, John Robleski, all, you know, guys like that, where, you know, everybody comes from the same kind of mindset, the same sort of, you know, way to prepare and the way they coach and how they handle things. So yeah, it would make a lot of sense if Seth had a lot of input into that, but selecting somebody who has that kind of background, that's kind of how the Sabres organization has worked for a while now. I mean, this, even before, you know, Kevin Adams's time, you know, the USA Hockey network of sorts is a group where they've not heavily relied on, but they've leaned on that to find people to help come up through the program, you know, come up through the team and get them ready to be pros.
Hey, Joe, I mean, does this come with some risk? And I'm just asking it this way. It's great that he has all this experience with the developmental team. It's great that he was a head coach in junior. Like when Seth came in, he was running a big time program at RPI for how many years? Like, this is a level that Mike Leone has never reached as a player or as a coach. And now you're going to be the head coach here. Like what risk is there in this move?
There's certainly some risk, you know, cause he wasn't at Green Bay terribly long. I mean, he was there for what, 2 years, coaching. I think it was 2 years, two, three
also
years.
The GM, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. You wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
When you're in that level, like that's not uncommon. But I mean, yeah, there's certainly risk, but I can remember us having a lot of these same kinds of conversations with Seth because, you know, people would look at the record he had at RPI and be like, well, that's not so great. You know, one NCAA tournament appearance, what are you going to do? But, you know, that was the RPI situation was a very interesting particular one to deal with on many levels. But you know, the way he came through USA Hockey that and the success that he had with those teams there was kind of like, oh, all right, this guy can do it. And I see the same thing. I see the same kind of trajectory with Mike Leone because Green Bay was in a pretty rough spot before he came in. You know, they weren't having a lot of success, and you know, junior hockey is, you know, it's a different sort of way that you build teams and whatnot, but it's sort of the same. But he was able to get that team turned around and, you know, back into the playoffs and back being a more successful team in the USHL, where, you know, that takes a lot. It takes a lot to do that because you're competing pretty hard with everybody else for players and trying to win games and, you know, the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, to say it's not a hiring without risk would be wrong. There's certainly risk, but, it's a big step up. Don't get me wrong. But I don't look at this as being terribly different than hiring maybe somebody out of college who, you know, might be a younger guy that's had some success and you're like, okay, let's see what you can do. It's not dissimilar to that. But I think, you know, sometimes if you're looking for, you know, fresh eyes, fresh blood, but somebody who can get the job done, I think that's a good thing as opposed to, you know, maybe, you know, dipping back into the pool for some guys that have a lot more experience because, I mean, you know, let's be real about this. The Amerks have done that for a long time and there wasn't a lot of success with that a lot of times.
Joe, we had your maintenance day co-host Lance on with us earlier in the week, and he was candid in sharing his displeasure with the NHL scouting combine this week and having to cover it. You know what? Well, paint a picture for us. What's Buffalo like when the NHL combine comes to town? What's it like covering it? And if you're a fan, is there anything there at all? Or is it just the NHL really, really needs to step up their game in terms of trying to turn this into the kind of event that the NFL has turned it into? And even the NBA, to a degree, has made more out of their combine than what the NHL has.
You know, everybody wants to see on-ice testing at the combine. And I get people wanting that to, like, kind of add, like, another layer of attention and something to kind of bring some hype to it. But I look at it this way. The Memorial Cup just got over the weekend. And like, you're talking a week later, guys that played, you know, a 60, whatever game season and the, you know, the entirety of their conference playoffs and then the Memorial Cup and then bringing them in here to be like, all right, buddy, time to hit the ice. We got to see how fast you can get around the rink. That doesn't sound like a good time to me if I'm 17 or 18 years old. And the injury risk that goes into it, like, you don't want guys killing themselves out there to get, like, the best time for, you know, wheeling on the ice or whatever. But I mean, as far as like the entirety of the, at least the day that we get to do stuff on Saturday, where it's, you know, the guys are doing most of the, you know, the testing and, you know, they got to do the wind gate. So, you know, some of the guys are barfing and whatever, like, I get it. Like, but it's, I mean, I don't know. I'm of the opinion that combines aren't exciting, period. Even the NFL one's fun because you got the 40. Okay, great. Like, that's neat. You know, you have some bench press. Okay, whatever. But I just, I don't know. I look at it as this is the last step before you're going to do the draft. Everything that's exciting, that's interesting about it happens in every game that they played beforehand this season. To make this more of an attention getting event, I think would just be kind of blustery, really, because, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, there's not really a whole lot to do with it. It's great for attention, but it's just, we have so much stuff going on here in the last couple of weeks. Like, you know, I mean, we're talking the combine's the same day as game one of the Stanley Cup final, which, you know, that's kind of the schedule maker's fault on that one. You know, considering there's been a week between the end of the conference final to now, but it's like a mad dash to get to free agency and to get everybody to the cottage for the summer. So it's just, it's, you know, I mean, look at this. We're talking like cup final. If that goes seven games, that like game seven's what, the 24th of June?
Yes.
I think. And then the NHL awards are what, the 27th in Vegas? And then the draft is the 28th and 29th. And then everybody's getting the heck out of town and free agency starts July 1st. Like, you do, for people covering teams that didn't make the playoffs, like, you know, like us in Buffalo, we've been, quote unquote, doing nothing since like April or, you know, in May, in the case of, you know, like the Amherst getting the playoffs. That's great. But we've been doing nothing for a long time. And then it's like, all right, time to cram for the end of the year. Just here's all the homework that you need to be doing. Do it all now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't.
It's annoying from that perspective, but like, I don't know. I look at it. It's like, this is just kind of part of the job. You just got to be ready. And, you know, it's, yeah, it can be annoying, but like every job's annoying.
Joe, I want to ask you about the Stanley Cup final here, but I'm going to do it in a different way. Edmonton, Florida. Okay. I want to ask you about the TV ratings, because that's usually the barometer where the sport is at. And traditionally, when a Canadian team is in, it's ratings poison. For the general sports fan, you look at Montreal, Tampa, nobody was into it. Ottawa, Anaheim being the worst ever. But you have a couple other factors here, obviously. One being, hey, a big platform. It's all on ABC. It's right there. You don't have to be searching for whatever NBC was putting out there. The other being Connor McDavid. Is that enough of a curiosity? Where do you think the American sports public is going to be at here with this Stanley Cup final between Edmonton and Florida?
You know, I'm really curious to see, because yeah, anytime a Canadian team's in there, it just doesn't fly. That goes even for regular season games. I mean, I used to get kind of upset when, you know, even working at NBC when, you know, they would just avoid having any Canadian teams on TV ever. And it was just kind of like, that's like a chunk of the league, man. Like, some of these teams are good. You might want to get them on there, and then they would never be on. And it's like, okay, well, great. If this was New York and Edmonton, I think you're talking about a big cash in, because, you know, Giant City against best player in the league. I don't think this is going to win too many people over. Even though it's McDavid, and he's brilliant to watch. He's fantastic. People should watch just to see him. But he's been in Edmonton now for what, 9-8 years, I think.
9-8 years. This is in year nine.
Yeah. So it goes back to when everybody thought people foolishly thought the lottery was rigged to get McDavid to Edmonton. I'm like, no, guys, they would have rigged it to get him to literally any other place than Edmonton to make it work better. But I don't know. It's great for hockey fans, because this is going to be a fantastic series. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think it's going to go far. But I think for the casuals, I mean, maybe the casuals they've heard about Connor McDavid. Maybe they've seen some highlights come through their social media and they're like, hey, what's this about? But it's not like you know, it's the classic like Monday Night Football, Edmonton, Florida, Stanley Cup, like. That's no, as soon as people hear Edmonton, they're like, wait, what, who, where?
Right.
You know, that's unfortunate, but I mean, the Oilers have been kind of irrelevant for a long time now. So it's not Gretzky's Oilers anymore. Gretzky's on TV talking about them.
A lot of travel between these two teams, too, when you talk about this series between Edmonton and Sunrise. Which direction are you leaning for this series, Joe?
I'm leaning on Florida, and maybe it's because I've watched them so much this year, and I've seen the way that they've played and how that all goes. I still, so much about Edmonton, I'm like, I don't know. Like, you watch McDavid, and he's incredible. But there's still a lot of games where I'm like, I don't know if these guys have got it. And they keep proving me wrong, which I guess that, that's part of the deal. But I look at Florida and, like Matthew Tkachuk hasn't blown up. He hasn't had like a monster playoff, but he's still been really good. Their defense is playing fantastic. Bobrovsky's been awesome. But to me, it's Barkov.
Yes.
And Barkov has shut everybody down. I mean, and we're not talking about like, the Boston Celtics getting to the NBA finals, with each team that they played missing like one or two of their top guys. We're talking about Barkov shutting down Pasternak and Marchand and, shutting down the Rangers, shutting down Panarin. Like all these guys throughout, like him and his line are just doing work and making it miserable for these. I mean, the Rangers are a really good team. They're a really good team, and they scored a ton, and they play great defense, and they couldn't do anything with Florida. They were just, Shesterkin did everything he could to shut him down, and even games where he's giving up one or two, it wasn't enough because Florida was still finding a way. It's really hard for me to shake that, especially because it's playoffs, but I've been saying it all playoffs. Don't take any penalties against Edmonton. You're asking to get beat if you're taking penalties against them. LA didn't learn anything the last 3 years against them. They kept taking penalties. They lost. Vancouver kept doing it. They lost. And Dallas, again, kept doing it, and they ran out of gas, and their PK failed them. So long as Florida plays nasty, as long as they stay out of the box, and they've been mostly okay. Usually if they go to the box, they're taking somebody with them. But they got to not be one-off penalties going against them, because dealing with those guys with the circus they can put on the ice, that's you're asking for trouble.
Joe, you're in Bleacher Report. What content, what can we check out here? Maintenance day, everything, Joe, as we're waiting until Saturday here for game one of the Cup Final.
Yeah, well, we'll have some combine coverage from yours truly this weekend over at Bleacher Report. Talking with all the top prospects. It's going to be a lot of Macklin Celebrini discussions there, even though we know he's going to San Jose, but we'll talk to everybody that's going to be in town there, talking about that. We'll be doing a lot of Cup Final discussions, probably breaking down every single game and seeing if Connor McDavid can finally win one, or if Florida learns a lesson from last year. We'll be doing that. And then, we'll be talking Saber stuff, because I don't know. Are they going to keep the 11th pick? Mm-hmm. Are they going to make a pick? Are they going to trade it? Like, are they going to do anything in free agent? They're probably not going to do anything in free agent. But are they going to do anything in free agency? A lot of things to go over. So, yeah, lots to do before everybody heads to the cottage.
Appreciate the time, Joe. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joe. Jordan,
Bleacher Report, noted hockey. You can check him out on the Maintenance Day podcast with our buddy Lance Lysowski as well. Some great stuff there as we preview game one of the Stanley Cup Final. That's coming up Saturday night. And, of course, learn a little bit more about Mike Leone, the new head coach of your Rochester Americans.
Is anybody picking Edmonton? I'm asking honestly. Like, it feels like this is the consensus, and usually when that happens,
Yeah.
Like, with the goaltending, with everything else. I don't know. Who's got the best line, the best tan? I don't think it's just pencil in Florida and five here.
I think Florida has an edge in goaltending. And for as good as McDavid is, Barkov is quietly like the best player on the ice for either team. I mean, he's just so good. He's scary good when he's out there. Both ends of the ice. Love that player.
You can't really bet the Conn Smythe because it's either Barkov or McDavid, right? Whoever wins the cup. And yeah. I can't imagine any other scenario.
We'll get to happy hour next in the sports bar, and we'll learn more about Mike Leone, new head coach of the Rochester Americans. We'll get into that and kind of revisit our conversation with Joe Yurden from Bleacher Report, learning more about the new Amerks head coach, and also our conversation with Mutt from earlier this hour as well. looking ahead to tonight's game one of the NBA Finals between Boston and Dallas.
Yeah. So, and we got time for your calls. 866-4-FAN, 866-4-3-2-6. Oh, we haven't gotten to the NFL hot uniform talk, too.
This is some hot uniform talk.
You missed this?
No, I saw.
Okay.
I saw. The thing with hot uniform talk now is that it happens so often that I really need to be wowed. I really need to see. Like when the Giants released their throwbacks and everybody wanted to puke because they hated them so much, I actually looked at them and like, I kind of like their homage to the Montreal Canadiens.
So this isn't a wow for you?
A lot of it has to do with the team that is
okay.
We'll be talking
Fair
about.
Enough.
We'll get into that and more next. Happy hour on the way in the sports bar. 866-4326 if you want to pull up a stool.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.